we pretty much all know who the presidential nominees are going to be, right? But still, we're arguing about it. Here in Washington, supporters of Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders fight on, saying their candidates are the ones who support the policies Washington voters truly believe in. But is that true? Do voters really know which candidate they most agree with on policy? Princeton University political scientist Christopher Aiken told Bill Radke, not really.
What we're doing is asking people to remember Socrates' advice to all of us, which is to know ourselves. And one of the things that's true about human beings is that they are loyal to the groups that they belong to. And those can be political parties or racial or ethnic groups. And it's those things we think that in the end are more influential in how people vote than the particular policy and issue positions of the candidates.
We vote by our group. We vote tribally?
That's maybe putting it a little too strongly, because some of these groups are occupational groups or religious groups. They're not exactly tribes. But yes, those groups tell us how to think about the candidates, and all you have to do is listen to Democrats talk about Donald Trump, or Republicans talk about Donald Trump, or Democrats talk about Hillary Clinton versus Republicans talking about Hillary Clinton, and you know that the group you belong to influences how you see the world.
So, for example, typical Bernie Sanders supporter, they may say they're voting on the issues. They're typically voting based on what? What's a profile?
Well, what we have discovered looking at Sanders supporters is that they are often not in agreement with him on his policy positions. And, you know, for most of us, that's the honest truth. It's not the policy details that matter. It's our notion of whether this candidate is somebody who'd be good for us.
But we say we're voting on the issues, on policies. How can we be that wrong about ourselves?
Yes, we do all feel that we're being rational and voting on the issues and that we're thoughtful, moral people. But it's obvious to us that the people we disagree with are often not that and are being dragged along by the people that they're listening to or the groups that they belong to. What we're saying is that's true of all of us. And part of being wise about politics is seeing those forces at work in your own thinking.
Is this voting based on your identity and not the issues, is that more true of uninformed, apathetic voters? I mean, what about those most passionate supporters who seem like they know a lot and care a lot about the issues?
Well, I should say first, of course, there are some very well-informed people who follow things closely and do cast a pretty thoughtful ballot. But they are a small minority of the electorate, perhaps 10 or at most 15%. Most people are just too busy with their lives to follow the details of foreign policy and economic policy and all the other complexities that the government deals with. So for most people, we find that those are not the crucial things that tell them how to make up their mind. And with respect to passionate, it actually turns out that it's often the people who are the most passionate and feel the most strongly who are the most inclined to distort the evidence in various ways to support their own policy positions. And this is just as true of Sanders supporters as it is of Clinton supporters or Cruz supporters or Trump supporters or Kasich supporters.
Yeah, you're not picking on any one candidate as arousing passion more than logic. If we look at voters that way, we're into symbols and labels and identities and charisma. What does that say about who's going to win the election in November?
That's a very good question. I think most people think that Donald Trump has more appeal on those scores than Hillary Clinton does. On the other hand, Trump has gone out of his way to make it clear to a large number of groups in the country that he is not their kind of candidate. So it's just going to be the balance of those two things. And one thing we know from past presidential years is that the polls in May don't predict November at all. You have to get to August before the polls start to be helpful. So right now, I think the answer is that nobody knows who's going to win.
This does not sound like a very rational way to elect a leader. Are you saying we should change the way we vote? the way we attach to candidates?
Well, general elections, I think we're doing them in the best way that anyone knows how to do. I don't feel that way about the primary system. The turnout in most primary states is on the order of 25% or 30%. And in caucus states like Washington State, it's routinely under 10%. So we're picking candidates in the caucuses and primaries using the judgment of only a really quite small fraction of the eligible voters. And those people can be unrepresentative of the larger population. So I do think that it's worth thinking about whether a different framework for the primaries and then, in my view, a larger role for people in Congress who actually know these people, I think, would be helpful. So that's an argument for superdelegates.
Well, that'll get you in a fight here in Washington State. We're always arguing about whether the superdelegates ought to follow the will of the voter, whatever that is, as you're saying.
Yeah, I am well aware of the argument. The irony here is that for ordinary voters, they want to keep the power themselves, and you can understand why they dislike having superdelegates in the mix. The difficulty with that is that you're turning the decision over to what, as I was just saying, a pretty small fraction of the electorate, and turning it over to people who don't know these candidates personally.
Man, Professor, when you think about how shaky the basis for our voting is, it makes you wonder why the government should do what we tell them to do. What do we know?
Well, there are some aspects that the government needs to pay close attention to, like managing foreign policy with nuclear-armed states. And you probably don't want to do that with initiatives and referendums.
Again, don't say that too loudly in Washington State. We love our initiatives.
Well, I'm from out there, as you know. So
yeah, you went to high school in Spokane.
I did. And so I know the Pacific Northwest well, but on this particular point, I think I have a view that's a little different from the standard view in Washington State.
Princeton University political scientist Christopher Aiken talking with Bill Radke. He and Vanderbilt University political scientist Larry Bartels have written Democracy for Realists: Why Elections Do Not Produce Responsive Government.